The first portion of that psalm is one of my favorite passages of all the Scripture. It tells us the importance in verses 1 through 8. Tells us the importance of having the Word of God and putting in the hearts of our children that the generation to come might know who the Lord is. And those are our verses that are very, very special to the child of God. For we are commanded of the Lord to teach our children, to train our children in the way that they should go. And verses 1 through 8 gives us the details of that. And the main part is that they might set their hope in God there in verse number 7. And not forget the works of the Lord. But when you come to verse number 9, there is a reality here that people, even though they heard the message, even though they had the word, they rejected the way that the Lord would have them to go. And the Scripture says in verse number 9, "And the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law and forgot His works and His wonders that He might show them marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea, caused them to pass through, and made the water to stand up as an heap. In the daytime also he held them, or led them with the cloud, and all the night with the light of fire. He clave the rocks that they in the wilderness, and gave them drink as out of great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers, and they sinned yet more against him and provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yet they spake against God and said, 'Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?' Behold, he smote the rock, that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So the fire was kindled against Jacob, and his anger came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them the corn of heaven, man did eat angels' food. He sent meat to the full. He caused an east wind to blow into heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh upon them as dust, and he fed feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp round about their habitation. So they did eat and were well filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity and their years in trouble. When he slew them, they sought him, and they returned and inquired early after God, and they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouths, and they lied unto him with their tongues, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath, for he remembered that they were but flesh." And we'll leave our reading off there. Really, this morning as I read these words and began to deal with this message, I got up this morning and my van wouldn't start. I came down here this morning. We got one heater that's not working. And when I got home, my computer had done something. I'd lost all my notes. And so I rushed back down here. So it hadn't been a great morning. But thank God I'm living. And so I came back down here and read these words and read these verses. And I wish I had time to really just expound on the verses that we have given. And I think when you read Psalm number 78, you find above everything else, you find the grace of God. You find His love for His people, even though they question Him, even though they doubt Him, even though they refuse to do what He tells them to do. The Bible says here that He withheld His anger. The Bible there, those last verses says many times, turned His anger away and did not stir up all His wrath. Not everything that is recorded here is all the wrath of God. Even though the wrath of God fell upon them, the judgment of God came upon them because of their unbelief. And it tells us there in verse 27, because they believe not in God. The problem with our society in which we live today is because of unbelief. The problem that people have in their lives is because of unbelief and not having the understanding or the acceptance or the faith to just trust the Lord. And we, as the people of Israel and as others have down through generations, they begin to question the Lord and begin to wonder if God's really where He says He is and wonder if the Lord is really there at all. And many folk have gone from what they call faith to non-faith. I believe if we're in the faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll never turn from that. And we can exercise certain ideals of faith and ideals of religion, and you can turn away from that. But when the Lord moves in and when salvation comes, we don't lose that. We don't turn away from that. And these folks, they rejected the things of the Lord, even though they flattered Him with their tongues, even though the Scripture says here they remembered that God was their rock, their heart was not right with the Lord. The key to it here is their heart. The key to it is their way of life is not right with the Lord. But thank God this morning, we better thank the Lord that He did remember them and that He also remembers us, that we are but flesh. God made us, God created us, He knows our weaknesses, He knows our needs that we have, and He remembers that we are not as strong as we think we are. He remembers we're not as good as we wish we were, and He remembers that we are but flesh. We're not a whole lot when compared to the Lord. And so in this psalm, the Lord gives to us, in that first portion of Scripture that we did not read, He gives us the key to continuing is to every generation needs to know the Lord. Child and the next child and the next child, that the generation to come might know the Lord. But there's always that problem of, even though we are armed, and you and I this morning as a Christian, we are armed. We have the message of God. We can put on the armor of God, and we can go to battle because we know truth. But even though we have all the equipment, even though we have being armed, and even though we may have the bows, and we may have all the ammunition that we need, the Scripture says there they turned back in the day of battle. And the turning back is what caused the problem in Israel. The turning back is what is causing the problem in America this morning. We're not believing, not accepting the message of the Lord. And these folks, when they had seen all the blessings of God, when they had seen all the things that the Lord had done for them, He opened up. He opened up the rivers of water that came from the rock. He gave them flesh to eat. The Bible says here that the feathered fowl came right into their camp, so they could have plenty to eat. God took care of them, and I dare say there's not a one of us in here this morning that would not admit God has taken care of us. God has helped us. God has blessed us with bountiful blessings. But so many times, we still go the same route as the people of Israel, and we begin to doubt the Lord. Now, there's a question here that's a very familiar passage of Scripture in verse number 19. They began to ask, they tempted God, and they'd done all those things, and they said, well, God gives us water, God's given us all that, but can He furnish a table? Can He give us flesh to eat? And He proved to them that He could. And so I began to look at some notes that I had in my panic, trying to get something together this morning. I looked in some notes and I began to see some things that God has done and God has given to you and I that we can understand, that we can look and see what the Lord has done. We can maybe not ask the question, can God, but we can say God can do certain things, and God has done certain things for us individually and collectively. Certainly there's nothing too hard for the Lord. I mean, there's nothing too hard for God. God almost, we can picture our mind that God would sit in the heavens and laugh at what we would call impossibilities. Because for there is nothing impossible with our Lord. There's nothing that can be withheld from Him unless it's our unbelief and our restraining Him. Impossibilities are an opportunity for God to display His mercy and His love and His grace to us. And with the Lord, everything is possible. There have been books written on how God works, and there have been messages preached on can God, and there have been all kind of information given to us on the power and the ability of our God. And I guess we could just look and we could just say, look at what our God can do. When we look at the Scriptures, we can see a God of impossibility that is always there. When it's impossible to us, He is there to help us. Here in this passage, the obstinate crowd that was around the writer, and then he has given us the message here, they asked the question, can God set a table in the wilderness? We're out here in the middle of nowhere. We're out here in the middle of the desert. We're out here in the middle of nothing except of our substance helping us to get through. We were in Egypt. We wanted out of Egypt. God delivered us out of Egypt. And a little bit later, they don't find anything that they think they need. They don't find, they feel like they are abandoned of the Lord. And now they say, can God do this? They looked for water. They were 3 days in the wilderness and they looked for water and they find bitter water. And they began to doubt the Lord, to begin to question Him. And now God proves to them His ability and He gives them water out of the rock. And we know from the New Testament that rock was none other than Jesus Christ, that He is the water of life, and that we can fall upon Him, we can come to Him and drink of that water, and we'll never thirst again spiritually, and we'll have that need fulfilled and supplied. And Christ was that rock to Israel, but yet they said, well, He can get, but can He give flesh? Can He give us food? And so they were continually doubting Him, and they set this before and asked Moses, said, can God do this? And I'm glad this morning that we can look and see what God did. We can look in the Scripture and know that even though they were surrounded by sand, even though they were surrounded by wilderness, and they were restless and they were not having all the details of what was going to happen, food was in short supply, water was run out, and they're sitting there and say, can God do this for us? Would to God we'd be back in Egypt. I mean, some of them even cried that they wanted to go back under bondage. What a terrible condition spiritually and physically for an individual to say, I wish I was back a slave. The Lord had freed them. The Lord had given them freedom, and now they're not everything's working smoothly and easily for them. And they throw up their hands and say, I wish we was back eating the cucumbers and the leeks and all those things that Egypt had for us. They were so good. Well, just a little few days before that, they were not so good. The bondage was terrible, and the taskmasters were strong against them, and they cried out to the Lord, and God delivered them, and now everything is not smooth and easy. You know, not everything is smooth and easy in our life as a Christian, as a believer. We have personal problems. We have issues that come to our life, and sometimes we say, what am I going to do? How am I going to get through this? Can God really deliver me in that particular situation? And what Israel saw was impossible. Sometimes what we see is impossible, but I'm glad we have a God that takes care of those impossibilities. We have a God that will deal and help, and He can set a table. Thank the Lord He can do that. And He can give water, physical needs that we have. He can help us with spiritual needs that come upon us. And He can do all of those things because He's limitless in His ways. And He, that sovereignty of God deals in our lives. And so the crowd that was there, they just rejected the good things of the Lord. In our day and time, when people have problems come up, they sometimes turn away from the Lord. But these folks turned away from God when it was good. They turned away from the Lord when He had given them all the things they needed. Even when they was in bondage, God gave them everything they needed to be a separate people and to be a folk that would be pleasing unto the Lord. But yet they rejected that. They turned on that, and God's anger was kindled against them. I'm glad this morning, as we read, He didn't give out all His wrath. He didn't destroy them. He didn't put them and wipe them off the face of the earth, and because God's mercy and God's grace was there active. So Psalm number 78 is you read, and if it hadn't have been so long, I'd have loved to have read the whole chapter. It continues on with certain problems and details that the Lord give them, and every little section of that passage shows us that God is a God of mercy, that God is a God of grace and love upon us as His people. And so the Lord can set a table. The Lord can make a difference. The Lord can provide, whether it be food, water, raiment, whatever it is, God can do that. Or it might be something that nobody knows about in our heart and our life. Nobody knows except us and God. You know, God can set a table there too. God can give us the needs of our spiritual life just as He can our physical life. And God is He's very interested in our life, our soul, our bodies. He's interested in our ways, and He can supply our need. And so Israel asked the question, and God proved He could. And even when they saw that, they still rejected the Lord, and God remembered that they were but flesh. God remembered that they are not up to My standard. And you and I this morning, we're certainly not up to the Lord's standard. We'll never get there until He delivers us to heaven. Then we'll be equal and we'll see Him as He is, and we'll be like the Lord. And I'm glad this morning that God remembers that I'm but flesh. I'm glad God remembers that I'm not perfect. I'm glad God remembers that I have problems. God remembers that I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by grace, but I'm still a sinner like everybody else in the Christian world. And God looks at us and He takes pity upon us. And sometimes He has to rebuke us. Sometimes He has to bring the famine. Sometimes He has to bring the storm. But He still remembers that we are just flesh. And His grace and mercy helps us through the ways of life. Now, if you would, turn back to the book of 2 Kings. In 2 Kings, we have a story of Samaria that was in trouble, Israel. They're in trouble, as they stayed in trouble a lot. And the armies had come against them, and they were shut up, and they were starving to death. You say, how bad can it get? How far can a person go? How low down can an individual go in their life when struggles come? In 2 Kings chapter number 7, look at verse number 1. Now, this is in the midst of the problem, and Elisha has a message from the Lord. And in verse number 1, he says, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Then the Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" If the Lord would even make a window in heaven, do you really think that we're going to have wheat and we're going to have barley? Now you have to remember, they're in a famine. They're in a dire strait. How bad was it? How difficult was it in 1 Kings chapter number 6, verse number 25. It says, "And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until Asa's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and a fourth part of the cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver." That's pretty bad off. I mean, they were in a terrible, terrible, starving condition. And they were in a strait that no food was available. Look in verse number 27. It says, or verse number 26, "And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, 'Help my lord, O king.' And he said, 'If the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press?' And the king said unto her, 'What aileth thee?' And she answered," now notice her answer here, "'This woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today.'" How far down, how low can a generation go? "Give me thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto him on the next day, I said unto her the next day, 'Give thy son that we may eat him.' And she hath hid her son." Here's the condition. We call it cannibalism. They called it survival. And famine, no food, and even eating those things that's very undesirable just to stay alive. And so here comes the man of God. He says, "Tomorrow, oh, by the way, tomorrow, we're going to have wheat and we're going to have barley." Where did he get that message? Well, he got it from the Lord. You know, the Lord sometimes gives us messages we don't understand. How's he going to fulfill that? And so there in chapter number 7, verse 1, he says, "Tomorrow about this time, a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel." Well, they haven't seen any fine flour for a long time. And he says, "And 2 measures of barley for a shekel." They hadn't seen that in a long, they hadn't had that in a while. They were dying of starvation. And here comes this one outspoken critic. And by the way, there's always the critics to the Word of God. There's always the critics to the message of deliverance from the Lord. And here comes this man, there he is with Elisha. And he said, "If the Lord would make windows of heaven, might this thing be?" He's really saying in that attitude of unbelief, he said, "You really think that's going to, if God would make a window in heaven, that's not going to happen. That's not going to take, we're dying. People are starving. The king can't even help his people. And here you are, the man of God, and you're making a statement like this. You really believe that would happen? God, he could make a window in heaven, drop it, and would not suffice, would not help." The Samaritans, they were truly in trouble. The Syrian army had surrounded the walls and they were starving to death. No way in, no way out. They were killing their children and eating them. But Elisha, the man of God, has a statement. And the critic says, "Do you really believe that?" You know, there are some things in the scriptures the critics say, "Do you really believe that?" They'll say, "Do you really believe in the virgin birth?" Well, that's a medical impossibility. God sits in the heaven and he laughs because it's possible with him. "Do you really believe the man can die and be raised again from the dead and be as he was? You really believe that?" That crowd, that critical crowd of the miracles of the Word of God. I'm here to tell you this morning, God can do all that. I'm glad God, just look at what God can do. He can set a table. He can feed his people. He can open the windows of heaven. And if you go here in verse number 2, Elisha said, he says to this man that's doubting, he says, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eye, but thou shalt not eat thereof."
He said, you don't believe me. You're questioning the message of the Lord. He said, but you'll see it, but you'll not enjoy it. You'll not eat it. Read the last four or five verses of this chapter. You'll find out. God delivered just like he said he would. And this critic, I think he was stampeded by the crowd. He died. He did not enjoy what God had given. And so we find that God can do those things. We find that the Lord can set my table. We find the Lord can open a window for me. Now, it may not be for the things that we read here, but God gives us these things as an example that God can do it. And God has no impossible task before him. When they was in the wilderness, they didn't see any way of escape. And God gave them angels' food. They got tired of it, and God gave them meat. God gave them flesh, and they rebelled against the Lord. So God can do what he so chooses to do to help us as his people. Another example is in the New Testament. I love the Old Testament. I love reading and studying the Old Testament, but you and I, we need the New Testament also. And I'm glad we can find the same thing both places. They never contradict. In Mark chapter number 8, we have the story here of the feeding of the 4,000. Now don't get it mixed up. It's not the 5,000. It's the 4,000. Not the same occurrence. But you notice in verse number 1, in those days the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat. Well, it seems like we're always interested in nothing to eat. But he had this crowd following him. They had nothing to eat. And Jesus called his disciples and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. And his disciples answered him. Now notice here what they say. Here's the question. From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? Now these folks, his disciples, those opposing Christians, those disciples that was with the Lord, they were not talking to Moses, they was talking to Jesus. They'd seen the miracles that he did, and they asked the question, said, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? How can a man do that? They're talking to the Lord now as a person, as a man. They'd forgotten who really Jesus Christ was. If you read and I've said this a lot of times, if you read the Gospels, you'll find those disciples were not high and mighty. They had a lot of problems. They had a lot of questions. They had a lot of attitudes that were wrong. The Lord used them. The Lord put them together and formed the church. But they were human. Such he remembered they were but flesh. And so they say, how can a man feed all these? How can he feed and satisfy these men? We know from the passage there was 4,000 men that were fed that day. And all the Lord did says, well, how many loaves have you? And they said, 7. Well, they found out how a man could feed those men. God can take that and God can help us. He can take the little and multiply it. He can set a table. He can open a window and he can take a little bit of nothing and multiply it for our good. Sometimes the paycheck doesn't go as far as we wish it would, but God can supply the need. Sometimes the bills come unexpectedly and I don't have the budgeted money for that car going down or that air conditioner stop. I don't have it, and God somehow, some way, shows us that he can. That's the goodness of our Lord. That's the personality of our Lord. And here he showed these disciples how a man could feed the men. He showed how that one person could do a marvelous work and take 7 loaves, and he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and break and gave to his disciples to set before them, and they did eat them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. And so they did eat and were filled.
And they took up of the broken meat and the, left seven baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000. And he sent them away. Wonder what the disciples thought. Wonder what the disciples said among themselves. We said he couldn't do it, but he showed us he could. How many times I doubt the Lord. How many times we doubt the power of our God. And he just shows us he can take a little bit and make an abundance of that. I'm glad the Lord can do that for us. There's times God's paid our bills. There's times God's taken care of us in a way that we didn't see how he could. And we didn't recognize the means whereby he would do that. But he did it anyway because he's a God of possibilities. He's a God that when it looks impossible to us, he says, oh, but it's very, very possible. And so these disciples, these Christians, they say, how are you going to do that? How can a man feed the men? Well, I'm glad one day he fed them, not only physically, but the man Christ Jesus took care of the sin of the world. He died for mankind, and he died for those that would come upon come unto him, and he died that they might have life. That's how God works. That's how he does. We may say, how can he do that? But just look what the Lord does. Just look how he supplies. In your own personal life this morning, you can look how he supplies. You can remember in days gone by, there was a problem, I had a need, and God supplied the need. Well, if God can do it back there, guess what? If we have the need today, he can do it again. If we have a need tomorrow, the next day, next month, God can do it again because he's the same God. His power has not been diminished. His ability is not wavering. His ability is always there. And so he can set a table. He can open a window. He can take the little and make it abundance. And then lastly, in the book of Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. God can even find an island in the fog. God can direct us by different ways and different means to get us where he wants us to be. In Acts chapter number 27, verse number, well, really starting in verse 21, we'll not read all those things, but we find that Paul had been away from, he's on a ship now, he's storm-tossed, about to go down. Finally, one place says, all hope was gone, we let her drive. We let the ship go, we just let it go. Don't have any hope. But after a long time, Paul came back to those men on that ship, and he gives them a message. Verse 22, he says, be of good cheer. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think I'd be in good cheer with my ship about to go down. And possibility of dying. Very probable of dying. But Paul, the preacher, comes up and said, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you. But the ship, it's gonna be diminished. It's gonna be destroyed. Be of good cheer. You're going to live. You're going to have life. He says in verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. The whole passage, I believe, hinges on that one little phrase, thou must be brought before Caesar. That was the will of God for Paul's life, and it was going to work. And no wonder Paul could say, be of good cheer, because I'm going to Caesar's house. He's going there as a prisoner, but the Lord had said, you're going to go to Caesar's. You're going to appear before him. And so whatever happened, whatever took place, Paul had it in his heart, the knowledge that God's going to deliver him. And he had the message that all the men on the ship were going to be delivered also. And he says in verse number 25, therefore, sirs, be of good cheer. I believe God. You see, there's the key to it. The problem in the wilderness was they didn't believe God. The problem when Syria was subverting and attacking
Samaria and they were starving was they didn't believe God. The problem with the disciples were, how can a man feed a multitude? How can he feed many men? So here we find Paul, the preacher, says, I know it looks bad, fellas, but I believe God. And he's told me we're going to be okay. Wasn't it a wonderful thing when the Lord says it's going to be okay? When you face the problems, when you face the issues, and the Lord said, it'll work out. There's been times that, I'm sure in all of our lives, that there were times that we just knew, didn't know how, but God had given us peace. It's going to be okay. And that's exactly what happened here. And God says, you're going to stand before Caesar. Look at verse number 30, but here's the crowd. And as the shipmen were about to flee of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as though they would have been cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. And the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Even though Paul said, I believe God, that crowd said, I'm going to get in my boat. I'm going to deliver myself. A lot of folks try to do that today, but it's impossible. We're going to get in this boat here that's going to be cast in the sea. At least we'll be floating. And Paul says, if you go off, if you go out of here, out of this ship, you know, that ship was a ship of safety, even though it was going down, because he had the Word of God. And so God can find an island, even in the fog. And you'll read on that the ship was destroyed and they landed themselves on an island. And not one person, not one man, not one prisoner died or was lost. The obstinate crowd, the doubting crowd, the complaining crowd, they can say what they want to, but our God can do it. They can say what they desire, but God has proven time and time and time again that He can. Oh, do you think God can deliver? Oh, yeah, He can. He can do that. When I'm sinking, He can pull me up. When I'm going under for the last time, He can grab a hold. When I've paid my last bill, have nothing left, He can still give you ability in His will and His way to take care of the needs of His children. Because it all hinges back on that one little phrase, He remembers that we are but flesh. We can do all that we can do, but we're still flesh. We must have God. If America survives, it's not going to be because of who's president. If America survives, it doesn't mean it's because of the stock market that's going out the roof. And thank God for that, that people are beginning to see some ability. But that's not what's going to deliver America. It's certainly not going to be the Congress and the Senate. I mean, they're just almost non-existent as far as ability. It's not going to be because of politics and politician. If America survives, it's going to be because God can do it. It's because God can supply. God can open the windows. Isn't it a strange thing? They can't even vote on a bill to feed everybody and to help everybody. And military don't get their money, but yet they get their money. I read up on that and listened to a few things. Everybody else is involved, but those that are sitting in the ivory white palaces, they look down upon us as minions. We don't really count. They passed a law for themselves years ago that their salary would never be withheld for any reason. Well, I guess if I was there, I'd probably say yes on that too. But you know what? Our God can take care of me. Our God can take care of this church. Our God can take care of our country. God can. Praise the Lord, He can. But more than that, He does. Let's stand this morning.